And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Obviously, welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. I feel kind of strange to be the first R&I broadcast, anyway, to talk about the Tyre Nichols situation. I would like to direct you over to johnlightning.com, again, the mothership. John posted a very eloquently stated and very truthful and honest post. And I believe there's an audio version as well for those of you who are into Strictly Audio. I got a little something going on here. Let me drop this. This is really super annoying. Hang on. All right. Yeah. See, that sounds better to me. I had the low cut switch on the mic because I did. But anyway, I feel kind of strange, and it's kind of weird because the producer and I have been we've been watching Cops on Fox Nation. Because that's where it is now, and there was like three seasons we hadn't seen. So we've been, is that a cup of coffee? Thank you very much. Okay, I got it. I got to find a coaster. So we ran out of stuff to watch. We're still watching The Crown, but it's so English. So it's, I got both cats in here, by the way, with me now. Spassy, settle down and take a nap, dude. Come on, you're old and tired. So we kind of wanted to intersperse it. We've been watching Cops for like the last 2 days, right? So we're watching it, and then so I had no idea of the Nichols case at all, even remotely, right? So I'm like, oh, let's do this. And in the middle of doing something, we caught a regular news thing because I use Google News as the front page, the homepage for this computer, and I was like, holy smokes. And then we were trying to. We found the video because it was. I think we stumbled across it right before they released the video. So then they released the video. And we're watching this, and I'm like, I normally for the most part like to find a reason for the police to be justified, and that generally falls around, my definition of that. It's probably close to the legal definition in the sense of was it in their training? Was it something that was in their training that they did that caused whatever damage it did to the individual? So I'm looking at it and I couldn't figure out when I watched the first part, I couldn't figure out why they were the cop was so aggressive when he stopped them, opened the door, and he literally pulled him out. I mean, I'd not seen that level of force from a police officer pulling someone out. And I'm watching three episodes or three seasons of Cops, and I never saw anything like that. And I'm like, holy shit. So I'm saying to myself, all right. I didn't necessarily have context. That's what I kept saying to myself. Well, Midwood, there's no context. You don't know what happened before that because, if we take a case like, say, Rodney King, which is obviously what this is being compared to, if you look at the Rodney King situation, he had led them on a high-speed chase, like, pretty much for, like, a very long time. So those cops, when they got the King, they were seriously, seriously amped up. I mean, they were, like, totally amped because of that high-speed chase. So I'm saying to myself, well, maybe there's something that this kid did that kind of – got the cop amped up. Because, again, I'm looking because I'm the asshole. Yeah, I'm the white guy. I'm the old white guy. Get the fuck off my lawn. I'm that guy. I'm saying to myself, and then I kept looking after seeing all of it and saying to myself, well, there isn't anything that could justify this. I mean, there's literally nothing that that kid could have done that would have justified being handled and treated and beaten, literally beaten to death. There was nothing. So I kept looking because I was still curious, because I still kind of had to know what set it off. What set this sequence of events off, this horrible, terrible sequence of events off? Because if it happened for no reason, it could have happened to any of us, whether we were white or black. I don't think color really came into this at all. Although I guess you're going to have obviously the race pimps are coming out. Sharpton. Oh God, Sharpton is supposed to see people from New York know Sharpton. All I have to say is Sharpton, and they know what the fuck I'm talking about with that dude. And it goes beyond Tawana Brawley, although that was obviously a major part of it. So Sharpton's going to be speaking or something at the funeral, and it's not going to be too long before Jesse, I have Martin Luther King's blood on my shirt, comes out and does his, everybody's going to make a buck, everybody's going to get some free advertising, and they're going to make a buck off of this. And meanwhile, the kid is dead. They can't, because, and I find this really interesting, Black Lives Matter. I think there's one statement. I don't even know if I'm going to read it, but there's one statement that they came out with. They're not too interested because obviously it was black officers and it was a black victim. So they're not at all, and they don't care about that stuff as much as if it were a white cop, forget about it. It would be all over the place with Black Lives Matter. I still don't understand why they haven't been shut down yet. I mean, they're obviously just the idea of being audited and misappropriation of funds, and it's just really whacked out with what's going on with Black Lives Matter and the amount of money they're spending on other things. It's all, just look around on the internet and put in Black Lives Matter. It's really screwed up. I really honestly feel I feel really bad for blacks in America because I don't feel they've ever really had any great leadership. Obviously, Dr. King was assassinated. Malcolm X was also obviously assassinated by his own people, by the way. Interesting. Anyway, that's a whole other side note for a whole other day. But the idea becomes, they never really had any really like great leadership. And it's interesting. I actually catch you. I was watching, there's this 90s thing on Netflix. And one of the 90s things, I think the second one in the series was about, the talk shows, what's his name, Springer and all that, crazy controversial stuff that was going on. And the Geraldo show where he got hit with the chair and his nose broken. I know there was some white people purporting to be white supremacists, and Roy Ennis. And I always liked Roy Ennis. Roy Ennis's group, I think, was Core, I think was the name of the group. I always liked Roy Ennis. I liked the way he communicated with people. I liked the way he came across and was able to be a bridge rather than something that was destructive or negative between the two races. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't even know if he's alive, quite frankly. But you look and that's it, man. Black America's really did that shit, man. They got people who exploit them more than, the Democratic Party's been exploiting blacks forever. The Democratic plantation, as it's referred to, forever, And it's just so sad. It's just honestly so sad. As far as what happened to this kid, totally and 100% irreprehensible. There's no way for me to look and say, well, this or well, that. And you can't really say that of a lot of other cases. Mike Brown, we know that case, that whole situation was accelerated prior to the encounter between Brown and the police officer. And we also know from the autopsy, this is now the federal one that was done because, they needed to come in because basically Ferguson was taken over by the feds, as well it should have been. The idea becomes he didn't have his hands up. They could tell by the way that he was shot and the way the wounds were and the tract of the wounds. He wasn't shot with his hands up. So there's, you know, everybody's going to roll out, and it's going to be like the circuses in town. And I really wish the Nichols family had made a better decision than choosing Sharpton. You know, even Obama. I mean, if they wanted to have a black man represent, even Obama would have been. I don't know how much he would have charged for the gig. You know, he gets a lot of money these days to charge for the gigs. Okay, he's going to sleep. Good. I have two cats on either side of me going to sleep. They hate each other. I like cats because they're not color. You know, they come in all different colors, and it doesn't really matter to them. It's more about the smell of the butt that they're interested in. Yeah, like dogs in that sense. So I'm staggered. I mean, I'm really just, it's just, you know, and that's crazy. I guess what they're aiming for, you know, when I say they, you know, I guess what they're aiming for is even though all parties involved were of color, as they say, they're aiming for institutional racism, you know. Because that's the training and the programming that these black cops got, that these Uncle Toms, as you will, got. You know, there's plenty of hay to be made in the sunshine with that for these motherfuckers. Quite frankly, you know, and that's it, and that's what they're gonna go for, because they're never at the end of the day or the night, they're never going to be happy. They're never going to be happy because this is how they make their money. This is how they make their cha-ching. This is how these race pimps, as John Lightning refers to them as, it's how they make their money. It's how they make their shekels, blood money, as it were. So, it just blew my mind. Like I said, it just blew my mind. And now here I am, obviously, the first person to do an actual quote unquote show program, as John Lightning refers to this one as. If I played more music, it would be a show, but I don't. So it's a program, which is fine. I'm comfortable being referred to as a program. Hey, if there had been better timing on this, I would have gladly given this slot up, you know, for someone more competent, whoever that might be. I know Dave's on tomorrow, and he's going to be running John's audio, and. I chose not to run John's audio. I put it up. It's up on the website. It's up on johnlighton.com. The audio and his actual post are up on johnlighton.com. So they're easily found there. As far as next week goes, I'm all booked to come down to New York. I'm going to be working on John's on server to get the server up so that we are doing that again. Having our own server and being able to store on our own thing. And, you know, because we like to be independent. You know, we like to be as self-sufficient. That's the term, as self-sufficient as we can be. And it's been great for the last X number of months that Area 51 and Chris Radio have stepped in and kept John and myself. I'm basically using the Area 51 server right now. At this moment, my voice is going over the server. So, always appreciation to those guys. John wouldn't be on the real radio if it weren't for those guys. So I'll be down on John's show next week. I'll be sitting in the I was going to say JPL studio, which is really weird. I'll be sitting in, and I'm going to sip some of this coffee and see if it helps. I'm going to switch over to tea in the next couple of days. I got some of that Tazo stuff because I'm going to need to be awake and doing stuff. Hang on. And my Knicks cup. Knicks have been on a winning streak, actually. Enough said. I haven't watched any games. I've only watched the end because the producer and I are still like, we're still going through that thing of separating and kind of going our own way and doing our own things about the house. Because we get up, we're so conditioned for 3 months. We were just huddling, literally huddling like children in the studio. And, it's time for there to be unhuddling. So My trip to New York is a big thing, obviously. I haven't been down there in a while, and given, again, given my mental illness, it's always a challenge, you know, especially once I hit the Staten Island Ferry, you know, when you get from Manhattan to Brooklyn, there's all those people. I'm kind of hoping to miss rush hour, but I'll figure it out. I may even hang out in the city a couple of few hours just to miss rush hour so I can go later. We'll see. We'll see. I still don't know how it's going to play out, but I know it will be there. Which means there will be no LF Midwood on Saturday next week. I hope you'll find something constructive to do at your time, children. Something constructive. That being said, everything's all right around here. My cat is actually sitting. My 20-pound cat is sitting on my $800 tablet. No, I have that. I have to keep this set. I'm sorry, Spats. I don't even know if it generates heat. He'll sit on anything that has heat. You know, I have like claw marks on my lap because the cat now, Spatsy, has learned to jump into my lap when I'm just sitting here doing nothing. When I was in bed, it was all right. You got covers on top of you. You don't mind so much. But he's been sitting on my lap, and I got all scratches. This is really horrible, especially on my pasty white legs. But every time they start to heal, he starts to jump up again. And I've been told I need to stay a little bit more center on the mic, that I've been doing that drunk toddler thing again. And I already can tell because that's what I do. I kind of go in like this, and I just kind of fade out to the side, and I go over here, and I'm like that. That's what I do. I've been doing that like since I'm 17. That's what I do. Ask John. Drives him nuts. I do have some a little news and such, and obviously some of it regarding the Nichols kids. I still, wow, man, just, you know, and. Yeah, man, that's just what I'm trying to understand, you know, how amped could these cops have been that there was a second, you know, obviously everybody knows that, there was a second location. They were so mad that like 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, whatever it was, at a separate location, they basically ended this kid's life. What could, you know, I'm saying to myself, because it's like, it could have easily been four white cops and a white victim. Could have easily have been. I, you know, I'm not willing to go so far as to say it's institutionalized in the sense of, you know, it goes all the way up to, you know, like the federal government. You know what I'm saying? Or what's even be like the state government? I can't believe like the state of Tennessee. Memphis is in Tennessee, isn't it? Yeah, it's in Tennessee. I can't believe that the whole police department is institutionalized racism and geared. It doesn't make sense to me, regardless of what BLM may or may not say, actually. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's just one of those things where I mean, who we blame? Obviously, aggressive policing is always, depending upon the neighborhood, is always a problem. You get that, I think what the Ferguson effect, I think the idea becomes, what was going on in Ferguson is that they were fining people in a lower socioeconomic neighborhood, I guess that's the best way to put it, and they didn't have the money to pay the fines, so they were always going to jail. So the cops were busting them, and just taken to jail, and they were in jail for X number of days because they couldn't pay off whatever, you know, whatever the infraction was. I don't know really the history of the neighborhood, and I think that will certainly come into play to a large degree, I assume, going forward with the case. I think the people responsible should be, you know, be obviously held responsible, and if it goes any higher than them, if it goes to their commanders or their chief or whatever, then maybe so. I don't doubt that there's going to be a federal investigation, so that'll crack the whole thing wide open. I know there's a number of police departments across the country that the feds are actually running because they didn't meet some sort of, I think there's a standard or like some sort of system to rate things. And if you fall before a certain thing, you lose the ability to run your own station, and the feds come in and oversee. I believe they might even still be doing that in Ferguson, not for nothing. So, you know, justice, I think, will be served. The question becomes is how everybody reacts in the meantime. I think it was a very, very smart thing to do to release the video. and release it and then say that the five police officers were fired and are now under arrest. I don't know what's going on across the country because, again, I haven't really been paying too much attention. I was actually trying to get this show together. And now I don't even know if I'm going to use most of what I did because I'm just off on a total different tangent, which is what I do sometimes. I was as shocked as everyone else that of the savagery of it. It was just really ridiculous. And I don't know what the deal was with the EMTs kind of taking their time. You know, I don't know what the story was. So with that, but it was obviously looked to be the case visibly. Let's see what I got. I'm trying to knock my coffee over. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. This is just a quick look off of freaking Wikipedia, which I use way too much. Okay. So he was, you know, we obviously know what happened. So I don't have to talk about that. They were arrested and charged with murder, kidnapping. Okay. Wow. Murder, kidnapping, assault, and misconduct. Two Memphis firefighters who were on the ambulance to the hospital were relieved of duty pending investigation. Okay. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation and the United States Justice Department both opened up investigations. So this is going to be investigated up the wazoo as well. It should be. The actual police office, the officers involved had 3 to 6 years of experience. So they weren't rookies. This wasn't like some sort of rookie thing or some sort of I got nervous and some more coffee. Hang on. I don't normally have a second cup of coffee, but when I do, all the members were of. This is where I think things get kind of when I was talking about that aggressive policing situation. All of the officers were members of a 50-person hotspot policing unit. I don't know what a hotspot policing unit is. I guess I haven't been arrested enough. Right? Unto a unit known as Scorpion. And Scorpion stands for Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhoods. Okay. Kind of hard to argue with that, right? A group of undercover officers assembled in October 2021, right? As a response to deal with serious crimes. Scorpion officers drove unmarked cars and dressed in plain clothes, wearing bulletproof vests, marked police. Okay. So unmarked cars and a serious crime. Okay. I don't know if these groups have charters or what the hell they have. But I don't know if even driving erratically would be a serious crime. I guess there could be serious repercussions, driving erratically could be something like someone drinking and driving and that sort of stuff. I understand that that's a relatively serious thing, but that didn't appear to be what the situation was. I mean, I would like to know if there were any cameras or any video of Mr. Nichols actually driving prior to the police interaction. I would really like to see that. I don't know if that exists. I'm going to go for some more coffee. Hang on. Yummy. Okay. So the five officers, Tadarius Bean, age 24, Demetrius Haley, age 30, Emmett Martin III, age 30, Desmond Mills Jr., age 32, and Justin Smith, age 28. So Nichols was stopped at approximately 8:24 on January near the intersection of East Rains Road and Ross Road. The Memphis Police Department initially stated on January 8th that the traffic stop of Nichols was due to reckless driving. Okay. On January 27th, Police Chief Cedorin Davis, and she's the chief, by the way, and she's also Afro-American, stated that her department reviewed footage, including from body cameras, to determine what the probable cause was. And we have not been able to substantiate that. It doesn't mean that something didn't happen, but there's no proof. So she's saying, yeah, because you would need, obviously, to stop the vehicle, I presume, anyway, because we still do live in America. You know, in the back of my head, I can hear the Connecticut Bureau saying, we live in a police state. We live in a police state. We live in a police, because most of my interaction with him involves the idea of that we live in a police state. And I'm always like, yeah, you know, doesn't happen to me. I don't really care, which is kind of true. I live in a socioeconomically depressed neighborhood, to say the least. I'm just not out there much. That's what it is. I'm hunkered down in the bunker. But what she's saying is there's no proof of what the reason for the stop was. And now the person who was stopped is now deceased. So that part of why the car was stopped at all, what probable cause existed to stop the vehicle, is now pretty much up to the five initial cops, or however, I know, was it five or three initial cops, to get their story straight. And that's it. They can invent some sort of probable cause. I would like the vehicle to be inspected, that someone might get pulled over for. And then still we would have to rationalize, even with quote unquote reckless driving, whatever that actually means, we would still have to rationalize how amped up these cops were. And I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, I personally can't. So at the traffic stop, officers pushed Nichols to the ground. I saw that. Okay. 8:25 p.m., a struggle began between the officers and Nichols. This is important now. They attempted to pin Nichols to the ground, threatened him, yelled expletives, and used pepper spray and a taser on him. Ultimately, Nichols broke free and ran south on Ross Road, where he was pursued by at least two officers. Two more police units arrived at the scene of the traffic stop at around 8:29. The footage shows that one officer who remained in the area said, "I hope they stomp his ass." I actually heard that twice. And it's real interesting, you know, when they do the CC, the closed captain, closed caption stuff, it says, "I hope they stop this guy." But it's clearly stomp, and it was twice that it was said. "I hope they stomp his ass," really, is exactly what was said. The second encounter with Nichols with the police occurred less than a half a mile down the road, away from the traffic stop, the initial place of rotation where his car was located. He was beaten for about 3 minutes. Wow, that, you know, 3 minutes doesn't sound like a very long time, but when you're being beaten, I mean, because this kid was beaten. I know anybody who saw my voice most likely saw the video. He was beaten. I mean, that was just, man. You know, I think I mentioned a couple of shows ago where, you know, a friend of mine and I, we were skins. I guess you never stop being a skin. And we were hanging out in the city, and we used to get into fights with boneheads, you know, racist skins on a regular. And, you know, it looked like we belonged on a hockey team. You know, it was really dinged up. A friend of mine literally had like two or three of his original teeth left in his teeth. Everything else was like a bridge, as a result of getting beaten and beating other people. In all my time, I've never seen a beating like that given to someone. Maybe Rodney King, like I said. And the Rodney King thing, I have to take into account how amped up those officers were after a high-speed chase through wherever that was in California. Anyway. So at the second, yeah, he was beaten for 3 minutes. And footage from a pole-mounted surveillance camera showed officers striking Nichols at least 9 times without visible provocation. Yet, that's the thing. I kind of looked at that, and I'm like, you know, because I always say to myself, when I'm looking at any sort of interaction with police of that nature, I'm saying to myself, are they still getting up? You know, I mean, because the cops want you on your stomach with your hands behind your back, cuffed. That's really the ultimate goal, I believe, in police officers when they get into struggles with people, when they get into these kind of... and I kept saying to myself, is he still trying to get away? You know, I barely saw his feet moving. It's like I'm saying to myself, he's still on his back and they want him on his stomach. Just turn the fuck over. You know, just like comply. That's really what I'm screaming when, and I literally do scream this sometimes when I see this. It's like, just listen to what they're saying and comply. I don't think that situation, meaning the Nichols situation, had anything to do with complying at that point in time. I think that was strictly revenge and payback for what had occurred at the original scene. that, and I don't think there's really any rationalization that can be made. And I tried, you know, I want to give the cops a break. Let's see. By 8:37, he was handcuffed and limp. Limp, obviously, meaning he was not moving, and most likely unconscious. They put him up against the car, and let's see. Okay, he was handcuffed and tied against the police car. Police footage showed that after Nichols was on the ground, one officer said, "I was hitting him with straight haymakers, dog." Yeah, okay, because they were proud of themselves. And I jumped in, started rocking him. Medics arrived at 8:41, so that's, yeah, approximately 4 minutes later. Medics arrived, but did not begin to assist Nichols to 16 minutes later. I have to presume that that was because of the police officers and some sort of fraternity, you know, some sort of evil fraternity, for lack. I believe the Scorpion unit's been broken up, by the way. Yeah, no wonder. Get this much bad press, it's all over. And he was taken to St. Francis. He complained of shortness of breath. He died on January 10th. An autopsy found excessive bleeding caused by a severe beating. So it's interesting. You would have, with that sort of thing, excessive bleeding, you would have hoped that they could have done some sort of transfusion or whatnot. But I guess what they're talking about was internal bleeding to the organs, and that's not necessarily something that can be fixed. So what happened was, is obviously the video was released on January 27, which would have been yesterday. And they had worn body cameras, you know, on as they are wont to do. I, you know, and that's what I can't figure out, you know. They lost their minds. There was some sort of like Lord of the Flies type thing going on there, man, because their body cameras were on. We've obviously seen multiple angles of body cams. How could they not be aware that their cameras were still on? But anyway, how could they feel justified in what they did? You know, it's like, you know what, you know, I'm telling you, it was just like some sort of Lord of the Flies thing. Just savagery took over. Let me read this real quick. On January 27th, the police worn body cameras video footage of the incident was released to the public. The Associated Press reported that, according to the Memphis Police Chief Davis, officials intentionally decided it would be best to release the video later in the day after schools are dismissed and people are home from work, due to the concern over civil unrest that might result after its release. The day prior, U.S. President Joe Biden spoke with the Nichols family and joined in their call for peaceful protests. Biden also told the country that he would renew a push with Congress to pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act to tackle police misconduct. I don't have Biden's, the transcript of Biden's speech, but I think he also pointed towards institutionalized racism, because that's, you know, that's the old canard. That's what the Democrats pull out of their pocket when they don't really have anything else to say, and or they're trying to exploit a tragedy. And this was indeed a tragedy. Do not get me wrong. But I believe it's being exploited from the president on down. Yeah. So after Nichols' death, the Memphis police chief called for a review of the Scorpion unit, and the unit was disbanded on January 28th, which was yesterday. And on the day of the video, this is the last little part. On the day of the video, Christopher Wray, who is the FBI director, said he was appalled by the video. And Patrick Yokes, the national president of the Fraternal Order of Police, stated the event, as described to us, does not constitute legitimate police work or a traffic stop gone wrong. This is a criminal assault under the pretext of the law. Wow. You know, that's the Fraternal Order of Police. They are always looking out for their guys. Always, you know. I mention them actually on a regular basis around here, believe it or not, because on those occasions when I do go out, Providence, you can really tint your windows really dark on your car, like stupid dark. And I always thought that it was an issue, because on police stops, the cops he's making a stop, doesn't know what the deal is because he's walking up on an unknown. And I was always surprised how the Fraternal Order of Police didn't kind of, you know, because they have sway. They have, you know, they have cash, as it were, to be able to cachet, maybe that's the word, to influence things. And I would have thought that that would have been something that would have been important to them. A moment of silence to help for Nichols prior to the NBA basketball game in Minneapolis at the Target Center on January 27 between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's absolutely nice. So that's, I guess, is this tied into it? This is actually a Fox out of Fox. Tennessee sheriff opens new investigation into two deputies after Tyree Nichols' body cam video released. Oh, let me read this real quick. What time is it? Yeah. And like I said, this is out of Fox. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office has placed two deputies on administrative leave following the release of body cam footage Friday evening of a traffic stop on January 7th, showing officers severely beating Tyree Nichols. He later died of his injuries. Shelby County Sheriff Floyd Bonner Jr. said he decided to launch an internal investigation after watching the video. Well, internal investigation, I got to stop here for a second. Somebody says internal investigation. That basically means you get to investigate yourself. They don't always come out with the results that that one might want. What's this? Put it. You know, it's the idea is like they've historically kind of been corrupt, meaning these internal investigations, and they're not really something that you know is a positive thing. In this case, it may be different. See, not for nothing, everybody is distancing themselves from this, you know, and isolating these five officers. But if it's five officers and then now we're talking about the EMTs took 16 minutes, you know, and they're standing there smoking cigarettes or whatever the fuck they were doing. And now I'm reading you a story or an article about two sheriffs who, I'll continue with the story. Having watched the videotape for the first time tonight, I have concerns about two deputies who appeared to be on the scene following the physical confrontation between police and Tyree Nichols, Bonner said on Twitter. He added, I have launched an internal investigation into the conduct of these deputies to determine what occurred and if any policies were violated. Both of these deputies have been relieved of duty pending the outcome of this administrative investigation. Well, that's good. A start. The officials were not named. In a separate statement on Facebook, the sheriff said he was saddened and angry over the five police officers' actions that resulted in Nichols' death. My heartfelt condolences are expressed to the family and friends of Tyrell Nichols. I am sad and angry about his tragic death, Bonner said. The sheriff said moments like this tarnish the badge of other law enforcement officials. Damn straight, dude. I am a second-generation law enforcement officer, and I am troubled by what we all saw captured on video. This horrible incident tarnishes the badge that I wear and many other good officers wear every day. The statement read, I will do everything in my power to prevent another parent from having to bury their child in such a senseless and tragic way. Many law enforcement officials, politicians, sports personalities, and others have commented on the graphic footage released Friday evening, which showed several Memphis police officers repeatedly beating Nichols with punches, kicks, and a baton. The footage from the taken from the body cameras, as well as the nearby street camera, shows Nichols attempting to flee from the officers who chase him down, tase him, repeatedly curse at him, punch him, kick him, and spray him with pepper spray, and leave him bloodied and dazed. Yeah, it was utterly outrageous. I mean, again, it just goes on and on. Let me get rid of that. And this is a little dated. This is from this morning, and I do believe that Black Lives Matter has put out a statement condemning again the attack. You know. To stop what went down and again, pushing it on to, because they need an angle. They need an edge. They need an angle. Pushing it on to institutionalized racism, which produced these five cops. This was called, This was actually from The Spectator, and this was written by James Ennis Smith. Tyre Nichols and the Muted Response of Black Lives Matter. The reaction of the brutal death of Tyre Nichols, a 29-year-old, after he was stopped by police, has been strangely muted. Nichols, a father of one, died of injuries on January 10th, 3 days after a confrontation with five black police officers in Memphis, Tennessee. Lawyers for the family said Nichols, an Afro-American, was beaten like a human pinata. Well, I don't know if I would have chosen those words, but yeah. The heartbreaking footage of Nichols' mother breaking down in tears has made the headlines, but the coverage marks a sharp contrast to the fallout after the death of another man, George Floyd, at the hands of police. That incident back in 2020 triggered a worldwide outpour of grief and anger. The response to Nichols' death has been much quieter. Black Lives Matter, the movement that hit the headlines in the wake of Floyd's death, has kept largely quiet. I'm going to use the word quiet about this incident. A short retreat from BNL account states, matter-of-factly, five Memphis cops were fired after a black man they violently arrested in an alleged traffic violation died at the hospital on January 10th. Tyre Nichols' family say police brutalized him, causing him to suffer cardiac arrest and a broken neck. No officers have been charged. Cops don't belong at traffic stops, BLM. Okay. Hang on for a sec. I want to hit my coffee, make sure these cats aren't moving. Yeah, okay. Because it's like a chain reaction. One moves and then the other moves. You know, since we got that K-Cup machine, I usually only have one cup of coffee a day. Since we got that K-Cup machine, life has been a lot better. A lot better. Okay, so as of today, there appears to be nothing about Nichols on BLM's website and no reply to my email asking whether they intend to release a statement. What might explain this muted reaction? Now, they have subsequently released a statement. I don't have any desire to promote Black Lives Matter in any substantial way other than to use them in the context that I am now. So if you're really curious and you want to know, you can go to the Black Lives Matter site and you'll see that they released a statement in regards to the Nichols case. I'm not going to read that statement. So, Antonio Romanucci, a lawyer for Nichols' family, described the encounter with the police as unadulterated, unabashed, nonstop beating of this young man for 3 minutes. Not only was it violent, but it was savage. Attorney Ben Crump, who is representing the family, claimed what happened was reminiscent of the incident in L.A. in Los Angeles in 1991 involving Rodney King, a black motorist who was beaten by a white officer. Unlike Rodney King, Tyrell didn't survive, he added. I believe Rodney King is now dead. I believe he died. And again, I'm going to say, because it's important to differentiate. In the King case, he had led them on a high-speed chase. Those cops were amped up. They were seriously, seriously amped up. I'm not justifying what they did, but I obviously think that you need to have context to what's occurring. And that's why I say there was no real context to what was going on with Nichols. All I know is that the video starts with that cop ripping him out of that car. I have no context as to why that cop ripped him out of that car or even thought to rip him out of that car or even thought that he needed to be stopped. I have no idea, and I'm hoping that that's forthcoming. Again, if you're telling me it's just, well, we stopped him for reckless driving, I would like to know what that means. I would like to know what actually occurred on the street prior to the stop. That's what I want to know. You know, and they got the cameras and there's dash cams. And there's got to be, there has to be a reason, you know, there has to be a reason. Whew. This guy didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm just going to choose a random black guy, rip him out of the car and beat him to death. I don't think that things don't happen like that. They don't happen like that. Things happen in a fluid motion. And I want to know what the fluidity of this situation was prior to the kid being ripped out of the car. So anyway, let me get back to this. The Memphis Police Department has fired five officers following an investigation of the incident. The officers are alleged to have violated a number of rules, including the use of force and duty to intervene. I assume that duty to intervene means that if one officer is doing something that's out of line or not within the that's illegal, that another officer has a duty to stop him from doing that. But just the opposite happened. They seem to get each other riled up and amped up. So, yeah, definitely there was a failure to intervene, for sure. The FBI and Department of Justice have opened a civil rights investigation into Mickels. That's as well they should have. Whatever the outcome of that probe, there is little doubt that policing in the U.S. needs to change. Yeah, I guess, I don't really, my interaction with cops has never really I've never been the person who someone called the cops on. You know, I've called the cops a few times, and, you know, it's always better if you give them a name and go downstairs if there's an incident going on than like an anonymous call. You know, they check it out, but it's not quite the same. And I like my neighbors to know that I'll call the cops. And if there's a problem and if they want to start something after the cops arrive, then the cops can come and bring a body back for them because I'll just kill them. There's just really, really no other way to put it. I'm known as the crazy loco around here. Or no, loco gringo. Gringo loco? I forget which one. Crazy white guy. That's pretty much what I am. And I'm light now. I was 280. Remember when I was 280? I was 280 like a year and a half ago. I'm like 225. I'm a svelte 225, man. Seriously. But I still stand pretty tall. That being said, I don't really have a problem. I haven't had a problem with the cops because I'm not the type of person who's going to have a problem with the cops. You know, I try to stay as low-key as possible for the most part. And I never get involved in any of the reindeer games around the neighborhood. So, and even driving, we never really have any. When we had the car, and we'd be driving at night a lot because we'd be going like 1 o'clock in the morning to go like Wendy's and get some cheeseburgers or something, you know? So we were out like late and stuff. We never, the only time we ever got stopped, I think, is when we had, the registration was bad, but it wasn't really because it was like during COVID times and you know how things were going on with that. And the DMV, they were open like one day a week for like 20 minutes, you know? So they finally sent a letter, and we had to show them the letter, and then they put it in the computer that the car is actually good. Luckily, we never got stopped. And they finally sent the sticker, you know, the regular registration sticker or whatever the hell it was missing. I don't remember. But other than that, I never really. The only like significant interaction I had with the police, as far as questioning goes, is when Jerry passed, and the cop, we called the EMT and the cops, and the cops came in right after EMTs. And they were all perfectly professional and dignified under the circumstances. They were standing in the middle of a hoarded house with a deceased woman in the back, you know, who had been there for a couple of days. But they were aces. I mean, they were really. I guess under the circumstances, they're going to be. But I don't know what's going on in the rest of the country because I don't live in the rest of the country. I can tell you this: I want to get out of an urban environment because it's killing me. It's literally killing me in the long run. There's sirens on a regular for a place this small, it probably has the same amount of sirens as say somewhere like Manhattan on a bad night, like on a Friday, Saturday night. I kid you not. It's non-friggin' stop. So whether they're EMTs or whether they're cops or whether it's fire, it doesn't matter. It's services being sucked down the drain by skells. I'll use that word, skells, on a Friday, Saturday night. So anyway, let me finish this. Having been on the receiving end of the wrath of police in Los Angeles, I know all too well how terrifying it is. After hitting a curb with my car, I was stopped and thrown over the bonnet, that's the hood, by an overzealous cop. When I stupidly owned up to having consumed a single bottle of beer earlier that evening, all hell broke loose. Rather than sending me on my merry way, the beefy cop yelled at my face and threw me back over the bonnet and began to frisk me. Being held down was excruciatingly painful, but I knew better than to resist. Even so, he felt the need to call over his equally beefy female colleague to spread my legs. With his hands around the back of my neck, I did my best. I am a hopeless Englishman, Hugh Grant stick, but that only seemed to make matters worse. That's hilarious. The final straw came when they demanded that I test for alcohol following the movement of a pencil with my eyes. That's a field sobriety test. I felt I kept failing, but only because I have a squint, which means my eyes move at a slightly different speeds. Okay, this mild disability enraged the officers. I can only imagine what fate would have awaited if I dared question the severity of the punishment, or indeed their unnecessary use of force. If a bumbling Englishman like myself, who accidentally bumps into a curb, can elicit such extreme response, we shouldn't be surprised when authorities come down heavily on the owner of a speeding vehicle after he attempts to flee on foot, as happened in the Nichols case. Nichols' death is a tragedy, and it shows why the status quo of law enforcement in the U.S. cannot go on. It's a pity that BLM and other campaigning organizations that are usually keen to shout from the rooftops are not speaking more about this case. Unlike the chaos that ensued following George Floyd's death in 2020, perhaps we should use Nichols' death as a way to unify people. It's high time to address the extraordinary tricky business of how to safely police the streets without it ending in carnage and hastily dismantling Western civilization. So this is James and it's Smith. I take it he's an Englishman. That's the vibe I got out of that. Do I have anything else on that? No, I don't. I have nothing else on that. I can't put my tablet there because my cat's on the fucking chair. All right. What am I looking at? I got 9 minutes anyway. I think the upshot of this, all of this, is that policing needs to, it's like you have to ask yourself what are they turning out of the academies, and the actual testing, like the psych testing that occurs, because I think some of these guys, I think, are kind of misnew in the head, for lack of a better term, and if you take into account guys who are veterans, and I got nothing against veterans, nothing, don't get me wrong, but guys who are veterans are perhaps used to doing things in a certain way, and that certain way kind of kept them alive in the streets of Iraq, or in whatever they call the hovels of Afghanistan. A lot of these guys are coming back broken, not necessarily on the outside, but broken on the inside. And that's something that needs to be dealt with. That's the government's job, to step up and help these people, and not give them a badge and a gun and say, here, make sure my neighborhood is safe, secure the perimeter. You just can't have that. I'm just, again, ultimately flabbergasted. Not even the Floyd thing, I tell you the truth, hit me like this. Not even the Floyd thing. Perhaps that has to do with the upheaval around it, perhaps. But now I'm partially grateful that this happened in winter because it's cold outside and nobody wants to march. This is a perfect opportunity for organizations like Antifa to get involved and to start, because they're professional agitators. You look at stuff and a lot of these so-called protests, peaceful, as CNN would call them, peaceful protests. Meanwhile, it the whole thing's on fire behind it. There's a whole block on fire. I forget who that was, Don Lemon or somebody. It's a peaceful protest. Okay, I would hate to see what a non-peaceful protest look like. You would think that there would be an attempt to identify professional agitators. I guess that's what I mean to say about Antifa, because they are pretty much professional agitators. Although I guess living in mom's basement makes you, I don't know exactly. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know for sure, but I know they're out there. And again, it's sad. The whole thing is sad. I mean, there's no reason for that guy to have died. There's absolutely positively no reason that can be justified for the guy to die. My condolences obviously go out to the Nichols family, and the guy's friends and his, I think what they said, he had like a 1-year-old baby. I mean, that's just really no way to have to grow up, and as far as the Nichols goes, there's no reason, wait a minute, I said there's no reason. I don't know if there's no reason, because tragedy happened, but it's, parents aren't supposed to bury their kids. But that, I guess that's what I mean to say. Parents are not supposed to bury their children for any reason. So, you know, that's obviously super, super tragic. All right, so let me move on. I'm pretty much done with that. I'm just going to do my clothes. I'll do the read the blurb and all that crap. All right, so, yeah, when you get the chance, head over to lfmidwood.com. I know you're on the internet because you can hear my voice. So head over to the Midwood Files over at lfmidwood.com. It's as simple as that, lfmidwood.com. Gets you in touch with my website. And I was trying to get a little, but it didn't work. So on my website, you'll find my archives. You'll find my social media. I'll take the red pill. And you'll find my favorites. And some of my social media is embedded in my favorites because I haven't found little square boxy things to be able to add to my take the red pill. How long have I said that I'm looking for a new social media thingy for my website? I might do something. Everything's paid, though. Everybody wants money every now for software now. They hold you hostage. They said, here, yeah, and it's good for a year of updates. And then after a year of updates, you have to pay us again. So you're only renting the damn thing. Makes me angry. Up on top, you'll find 11LRI. That'll take you over to John Lightning's website, johnlightning.com. And please head over there for John's commentary on the Nichols situation. And I believe that's available in both print and audio form. Yeah, I believe so. And if you head all the way over to the right, you'll find our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio. Remember hanging out with those Area 51 dudes. Yeah. Thank you, Area 51, again, for helping us get through things the last couple of months. You know, it was just tremendously bad timing that the server was removed. The server was shut down and my aunt passing at the same time. I really couldn't do anything about it right away. And Larry stepped in and really helped us out a great deal in regards to get streaming within a week's time. So, you know, again, kudos to Larry. Always, Cosmic Debris, always a good guy. So that being said, there will be no Midwood Files next Saturday. I will be hanging out with John Lightning. I know my regulars are going like, yeah, I don't mind listening to Midwood over there, but do I have to listen to John as well? Well, you're going to have to sift the wheat from the chaff, as they say. However you break it up, that's your opinion. I could be detrimental or I could be a positive impact on the show. I guess we'll see. That being said, I am actually looking forward to spending some time with John, which I don't get to do very often because of the almost 200 miles between us on a regular basis. So that being said, I got no closed music or nothing because, like I said, I didn't feel it was appropriate to play any music for this show, considering what the vast majority of the content was going to be about. And that's it. So let me get over here and let me play the close. And I'll be over at John's place on next Sunday for the a little bit of everything radio extravaganza. Bye, y'all, and stay golden, Pony Boy.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.